So we're holding about the, having on Mem Vav Amud Aleph, about the middle of the Mishnah, about the middle of the Mishnah line, beginning the Bechor. Okay, so we mentioned, we're talking about the subject of this parak is Pidyon HaBen. So we started by talking about you have there's Pidyon HaBen and there's the din that a Bechor gets a double portion, and those two things are orthogonal to each other. Each one has its own criteria that you determine whether a child is a Bechor or not. So we started by saying, for example, you have cases where somebody is a Bechor l'nachla and not Bechor l'koyim. So we mentioned in that connection a couple of cases involving miscarriages or non-viable babies. So now, continuing on this topic, suppose that a man didn't have any children yet and he married a woman who already previously had children, or oida shivcha v'nishtachara, or you can have a divorcee, a widow, whatever. Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, she could have been a divorcee, a widow. She could have been mizana, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. The point is, she had children previously. Oida shivcha v'nishtachara, or you could have a case where the woman was a shivcha, and when she gave birth, and then later on she was freed. So we'll see in the Gemara that we have two possibilities. What the Mishnah means? Does it mean that we're talking about a man married a shivcha who was freed, but previously she had children, or do we mean that it's a separate case? In other words, leaving aside the question of whom she married. The point is though that she had children while she was a shivcha knanis, that is, and now she was freed. Or she had children when she was a goita and then she converted. And then she had children after she married a Jew. And then when she came and married a Jew, then she had children. Bechor l'nachla and bechor l'koyin, those are another example where the child would be a bechor l'nachla. He gets a double portion of his father's property, but he's not a bechor as far as Pidyon HaBen. Because his mother previously had a baby, even though she was a shivcha or a goita at the time. Nevertheless, it counts. The fact is, he's not katerechem. Rabbi Yosi Aglili disagrees. He says, no, Bechor l'nachla u'l'koyin. The baby in that case actually would be a Bechor as far as Nachla and as far as Koyin. Because Rabbi Yosi Aglili says the children that she had when she was a Shifra or a Goita don't count as far as the din of Keter Rechem Shenema, because the Pasuk says Keter Rechem be Yisrael. The Pasuk says the one who opens the womb in the Jewish people, meaning Ad Sheyiftiru Rechem be Yisrael, implying that the womb, that we're talking about the opening of the womb when she's a Jew to the Jewish people. So the fact that she had an opening of the womb, the fact that she had a baby before when she was a shifcha or a goita, Rabbi Yitzchak really says doesn't make a difference. And the Chachamim also, I mean, obviously they have the pasuk also, but the Chachamim would understand basically you could ask the question, what does Bisrael refer to? Does it refer to Peter or does it refer to Rechem? If it refers to Peter, then yeah, Rabbi Yitzchak really has a point. Then there was a previous Peter Rechem among the Goyim, and now this is the first Peter among the Jewish people. On the other hand, if you take the view that you're focusing on Rechem, then okay. Oh no, the other way around actually. Rabbi Yitzchak really would focus on Rechem. Rechem be Yisrael, implying when the womb belongs to the Jewish people, then we look at the opening of it, whereas the Chachamim would focus more on Peter. The fact of the matter is, there wasn't an opening of the womb for this woman while she was a Jew, because she previously had a baby when she was a Shifcha or a Goita, and therefore can't be considered Peter Rechem, the first one that she has now as a Jewish woman.
What the term means to add Beisrael?
Okay, because that's the point. The Chachamim would say that Peter Rechem be Yisrael, and the first one that opens the womb only, and it has to be that first one that opens the womb takes place when she's a Jew. If there was a previous one when she wasn't a Jew, then there was already a previous Peter Rechem, and this is not Peter Rechem.
So they just
fit in the rest of the case, right? No, okay, because the point is, in other words, we'll see in the Gemara, but that's the idea, basically, is that we, what is Bisrael refer to? Does it refer more to Peter, or does it refer more to Rechem? Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak really says that. Fine, okay. Okay, understood. But the Chachamim would say, that no, the point is it has to be Peter, be Yisrael. It has to be that the first opening of the womb takes place when she's a Jewish woman. If she had a baby when she wasn't Jewish yet, then the fact is there was a Peter Rechem. So therefore, now when she's Yisrael, then it doesn't count anymore. Okay.
In other words, it's not a Peter Rechem because she wasn't Jewish.
And she wasn't Jewish, and the Chachamim would say, yeah, essentially, yeah. Okay, fine. Continues the Mishnah, another case. Misha hoyuloi bonin. Now, what about the other way around? Suppose that a man had children from a previous marriage, the nasa isha shela yolda, and then he married a woman who hadn't yet given birth, or nisgaira moberes, or a woman, a goita was converted while she was pregnant. And Rashi explains not only is she converted alone, but also her husband converted with her. Why Rashi is mentioning that, we'll get to shortly. Nishtachara moberes, or she was freed from being a shifa knanis while she was pregnant, viyolda, or viyolda hiva kehenes, or another case could be that a bas Yisrael who's giving birth to her firstborn gave birth at the same time as a kehenes, as a wife or the daughter of a kohen, and then the babies got mixed up and we don't know which one is which. Or he or Levia, or similarly the same thing happened with her and a bas Levi, or he the Isha Shekval Yoda, or you have two women who were giving birth, one for her first time and one previously has given birth, and now the baby's got mixed up and you don't know which is which. The Chain Mishle Shasal Achabaila Shlosha Chadoshim, or another case could be where a woman did not wait as she's supposed to 3 months after her husband passed away, or after she got divorced, which we know she's supposed to wait 3 months, precisely in order to avoid questions of paternity. If she has a baby in the seventh month, which could happen, then we won't know whether it's from the first one. You were saying because of DNA testing. I don't know how much DNA testing is relevant, is valid by halacha. Maybe not. But the point is, you have this concept, and no, you have Adar Yom Hazeh. You have the halacha that when, for example, when a woman is given a get, nowadays she doesn't keep the get. She gives it back to the Beis Din, they tear it up, and then they give her a shtar that summarizes what happened. But I've seen examples of this. They mention that you should know you're not allowed to marry until 92 days from now. So yeah. So suppose a woman didn't do that. Suppose she remarried within the 3 months, the nisus, and then she remarried, the yolda, and now she gave birth. But you're doing that tisha l'rishon in that shivalach. And now you don't know if this baby is a 9-month baby from the first one, from her first husband, or a 7-month baby from the second one. In all those cases, b'chor l'koyin v'ena b'chor l'nasla. In all these cases that we just mentioned, beginning from the case where he married a woman who hadn't had children yet, all of those is the other way around. Those are all b'chor as far as pidyon haben, but not as far as nasla. Now here's why. So as far as the giyuris, the Rashi mentions the idea like this. The reason why it would have to be that she was nisgayer and her husband also, it's Peter Rechem B'Yisrael, fine. The reason why he's not a Bechor L'Nachla, Rashi says, because he was conceived by a Goyish father, and therefore Rashi uses the expression Lav Bar Nachla. He's not suited to get a Nachla. Rashi is saying on the face of it that because he was conceived by a goyish father, and Rashi uses the expression the zera mitzri rachmana achirei, the seed of a goy, the Torah is maskeret and considers in a certain sense there's not really a legal relationship between the father and the son. So therefore that's the point why we would say that he is Peter Rechem B'Yisrael, but on the other hand he's not getting a double portion for his father. Tosfos gives a different reason. It's not because of that. It's because if we're saying that his father was Nisgayer as well, fine. Gershon is Gayer Kotten Shemer Dami. The father and the son are both considered like they're newborn. Therefore, they're not considered to have any relationship to each other. La la. But actually, Tosfos says that no. When he's a goy, and actually we'll talk about this further in the sugya as well, when he's a goy and his father is a goy, actually, Minatoda, he would Yashin his father. Because you want to mention this concept of Kedushin. But now that he's becoming a ger, and we're saying his father becomes where his when a person becomes a ger, then he loses his relationship with his family, right? Then as far as the last case of the Mishnah, where we mentioned the case where the woman remarried within the 3 months.
He would become a bechor.
So he's a bechor as far as Kohen, but not as far as now. Right. Either because, as Rashi says, he's not considered to because in general, anyone conceived by a goy is considered to not be related to his father. And according to Tosfos, because Gershon is Gayer Kotten Shemer L'Dami. Okay. In the last case of the Mishnah, when we're saying the case where the woman remarried within the 3 months and now she has a baby and we're not sure of its paternity, so we're saying he's not a Bechor L'Machada, meaning he doesn't get a double portion, Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to eventually ask, he doesn't get a nachla anyway because we don't know which one is his father b'chol. So what do you mean he's not a b'chor, but in other words he gets a single portion? How is he getting a single portion from either one? whichever one he tries to yashin from, they're going to tell him, you don't belong to that one. So that's the Gemara is going to eventually take up that. Gemara starts off. Omar Shmuel, so in connection with, we had at the beginning of the Mishnah, we had cases involving non-viable babies. We had a case in the Mishnah where a Bo'ach and the Fallen, we said, where you had, let's say, Rashi said there were twins, and one of them was an 8-month baby, who was not viable. The other one was a full-term baby.
That's not this Mishnah.
No, our Mishnah had said the expression, Bo'ach and the Fallen. The fallen in this connection means that the baby was started to be born alive, but he's an 8-month baby who's not viable, who's considered a nafil in halacha. So we said in the Mishnah, the case was, for example, he stuck out his head still alive, but then he retracted it, and then the other one came out. Then nevertheless, we're saying the other one is still considered a b'chur as far as it's still considered a b'chur l'nasa. He's not a b'chur l'kayin because there was a birth beforehand, but okay, so Shmuel says, Ein harosh poter b'nefalim. Shmuel says that if the head coming out, and then again, where he retracted the head, and then his brother came out, that does not pater the live birth from Pidyon HaBen. So we're going to ask on him from our Mishnah, but first we have Shmuel's statement over here. In other words, again, the case was, so a woman is pregnant with twins. One of them is non-viable because he's being born during the 8th month. The other one is viable because either he's full term or you also have the Gemara mentioned in Yevamos, for example, you can have a baby who's born in the 8th month who is viable because when his hair and his nails are fully formed, it shows therefore that he's a late 7-month baby. So whatever it is, the point is. Well, okay, so the point is, so if you have a baby stuck out, a non-viable baby stuck out his head, that's still alive, then he retracted it, then the other one came out, so the Mishnah had told us that he's not a b'chor l'koy, and so Shmuel is saying that no, the head coming out does not pater the second one from Pidyon HaBen. My timer, why is that? Because the pasuk says by the marble, kol asher nishmas ruach chayim ba'afav, anyone who had the breath of life in his nostrils, the pasuk continues, were killed in the marble, implying, but the expression in the pasuk implies, kol hecha the nishmas ruach chayim ba'afav, only when there is the breath of life in his nostrils, meaning that he's going to be viable, he's going to be capable of living long term, then then his head coming out is considered a significant thing, and then the next one that comes after him, if he retracts his head and the other one comes out, would be pulsed from Pidyon HaBen. Idach, but otherwise, if he doesn't have Nishmas Ruach Chaim Ba'afav because he's an 8-month baby and he's not going to be viable, then his head is not considered significant coming out. And therefore, we ignore him. We say when he puts his head back in, and then the viable baby comes out, no, it counts as far as Nakla and as far as Toyin Shmuel says. He just the one who came out, the full term baby who came out after that is a bechor as far as the double portion, the other one,
but
yeah.
the one who didn't,
we ignore the fact that he put his head out first.
One second.
Okay. You have two babies.
Two babies.
One is a non-viable baby. The second one is a viable baby.
Right.
So the non-viable one sticks his head out, still alive. Then he pulls it back in. Then the other one comes out. Shmuel is saying that the other one is considered a bechor for all purposes, as far as nachla and as far as
the other one is delivered.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can it be the other one delivered? When the first one
put his head in, because then he pulled it back in, and then the other one managed to come out. Okay. And say. Why not? I mean, the same way as you have, for example, with Tomer's twins in Parshas Vayeshev, right, where Zerach sticks out his hand first, and then they tie a red string on it. Fine. And still, the point is that he puts it back in, and then Peres all of a sudden comes first.
The head
fine.
Is on the head.
Okay, fine.
Once the head is out.
No, but that's the point. No, the Shmuel, because somehow he pulls his head back in, and the other, and I don't know. Let's say they're small babies. I don't know. Whatever it is, suppose that such a thing happens. I mean, our Mishnah had also mentioned such a case. So, right?
Not with the head.
Look at our mission. The expression had been, Habo Achan Nefalim, Afa Pisha Yotta Asver Sheikhai. That is exactly the case we're talking about. That's the point. He stuck out his head, then he pulled it back in, and then the other one managed to be born first. Okay, it may be a very weird thing, but if it happens, then we have to know what the dinner is. We've had rarer cases than that in Poland, you know. But that's how it is. Okay, fine. Okay, so the question is, so let's see. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Haba ach on the fallen should yotze roshi chai. We said if a viable baby is born after a nefallim, after a non-viable baby stuck out his head alive, or uben tisha should yotze roshi mes, or after you may have also the other twin may have been a nine-month baby, a full-term baby, who stuck out his head, but he was already stillborn at that point. And we said then the other one was born. So, katani mi aroshay. So now the Mishnah mentions that his head came out. We said the other one is a b'chor l'machwa, but not a b'chor l'koyah. So therefore, that would contradict Shmuel, who says that we ignore that head coming out. The answer is my roshay rubai. The answer is Shmuel would say the word roshay in our Mishnah doesn't just mean the head, it means that most of his body came out as well. But he would say the head only has one din, the head and the body has a different din. So the question is, the listening rubai. Okay, in that case, why doesn't the Mishnah actually use the expression rubai? The answer is, you're right. The din hu di bolel misni rubai. Shmuel would say, really, yes, the Mishnah should have used the word rubai. So why doesn't it? But ivi to kabolel misni sefer. But because the next part of the Mishnah wants to tell the case, ben tisha shayota roshe mes, where we said if he's a 9-month baby and he stuck out his head and he's already dead because he's stillborn, where then? Time of the Rosh Hashanah. Why are we saying that the other one is considered a Bechor L'machla? Only because he was dead at the time. Ha Rosh Hashanah. But if the 9-month baby had stuck out his head and he was alive at the time, then a Bechor L'machla, Nami Lehavi. So then the second one wouldn't be a Bechor even L'machla. In other words, again, the Mishnah had distinguished between whether the one who stuck out his head first was a non-viable baby, where we said that then even if he's alive at the time, then it's still considered non-viable, right? Therefore he doesn't count as far as b'chor l'machla. The Mishnah had implied that it's still as far as b'chor l'koyin. Shmuel is saying that that's not what the Mishnah means. Shmuel is saying what the Mishnah means is in the case of the 8-month, the non-viable baby, in order for him, when did he make that the other one is not a b'chor l'koyin, only if not only his head, but most of his body came out. Then the other one is not b'chor l'koyin. If only his head came out, then the other one would still be a b'chor l'machla and b'chor l'koyin, says Shmuel. So the reason why the Mishnah mentioned Rosh is because in the next case, where you have the 9-month baby, then there's a 9-month baby that stuck out his head dead, then there's a difference. If he was alive, then once he sticks out his head alive, then he already is a b'chor l'machla and l'koyin, and the other one is not a b'chor for either one. Well, we'll get to that. Wait. Okay. Fine. So therefore, because it had to say in the second case of the 9-month baby, it had to say roshay, tonin reishanami roshay, so therefore in the reishay it also uses the word the head, even though Shmuel would say it doesn't mean the head, it means the body as well, most of the body as well. Okay. The question is, or my kumash malon, okay, so what is Shmuel wanting to tell us with his din? As he says, is he trying to tell us a chiddush to kibin demapik le reishay have a leida, that as soon as a viable baby sticks out his head, then he's considered already born, and therefore that then even if he retracts his head and the other one comes out, if he's viable, right? Tanena, we learn in a Mishnah in Chulin, Hotzi Roshay, if the baby, and they were talking about an animal, but fine, if the baby sticks out its head, Alpha Pichach Zero, even if he retracts it afterwards, Hareza Kiyol would be considered born already. So no, the point is, in other words, that why does Shmuel have to tell us that? We already know it from a Mishnah. Actually, the question isn't so much on Shmuel. Well, the question is on Shmuel, but if you're going to understand, if Shmuel is going to have to understand the Mishnah, that we have a case where the head alone is enough to be a birth, namely when he's a 9-month baby and viable and he's born alive, versus in other cases we need the head and most of the body, then what's the chid? Why would the Mishnah have to be telling us in the case of a 9-month baby that if his head comes out that he's considered born? We already know it from the Mishnah in Chulin. So you're going to answer, Ashmi'in and Behem of Kamashmalan Ba'adam. You would say, okay, the Mishnah in Cholin is talking about an animal. The Mishnah here wants to tell us the same din is true as far as a person, which you would argue, the Adam and Behem alo Yalif. Now, you could argue you can't derive the dinim that apply to a person from the dinim that apply to an animal. And therefore it has to say it again, Delesla Proizer, because you could argue an animal, unlike a human woman, does not have a proizer. Now, Tosfos points out, we've had that term before, and Tosfos points out over here, which we also learned in Cholin, that there's two possibilities of what proizer means. One is that it can mean the birth canal, which that's not what it means over here, because animals have a birth canal just like human beings do. So the other meaning of prozer, Tosef says, is the fact that you have with a woman, you have the thickness of her legs, the thickness of her buttocks, that covers over the area of the birth canal and then the baby's head coming out. Whereas an animal doesn't have that. An animal walks on all fours and its birth canal is open directly to the head. So therefore, the point is, in other words, that you could argue that because an animal doesn't have its birth canal hidden between its legs, therefore, as soon as the head comes out, you could consider it a birth because right away it's exposed there. Whereas with a woman, you also have to have the fact that her legs are in the way, her thighs are in the way.
Yeah.
Therefore, you could argue that maybe with an animal, you could say as soon as the head comes out, it's sort of a birth. Maybe with a human baby, you need something more than that. You still could argue that, but there is still that gap. And it also depends what position she's sitting in when she gives birth, you know. Usually, I mean, yeah, you nowadays they lie down and those times they used to sit on a birth stool, yeah. Anyway, and vice versa, behemah me'odem lo yalfa, and you could argue the other way around, that if our Mishnah told us this din about a human baby, you couldn't necessarily derive the same thing as true as far as an animal, because mishum d'choshev pouts upon him b'day, because you could argue that the face of a human being is a more significant thing than a human being has a face, has a countenance, whereas an animal doesn't. It just has a front of the head, basically. So therefore, you could argue that the face and the head of a human baby being born is more significant than an animal. So you could argue that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, but we don't need that.
But the baby doesn't come out of the womb with face, it comes out with its head.
Actually, as we're going to discuss soon, first there comes out the forehead. Fine, but you have, the point is, though, that
not
you,
the forehead.
Yeah.
The head.
Okay, well, that's what we're going to, okay, we're going to talk out, so we're going to talk soon, but the point is, you have one of the first things that comes out before the body, at any rate, before the body comes out, the head comes out. So you could argue, therefore, that maybe that's the chiddush. When it comes to a human baby, as soon as the head is out, it's considered a birth, because the face of a human being is a very significant thing. With an animal, you would argue maybe you need more than that. Maybe you need most of the body to come out as well. Maybe, therefore, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. But we don't need that. Honami Kanena, because we learn that in a Mishnah elsewhere as well. We have a Mishnah in Nida that says, Yosa Kedarka, if a baby comes out the normal way, head first, Mishayete Roiv Roishai, then he's considered born as soon as most of his head comes out. The Ezehu Roiv Roishai, and what's considered the majority of his head, Mishayete Padakto, once his forehead comes out. Okay, you're saying the crown of the head comes out first, fine. The forehead probably means like the whole front of the head, whatever.
The head comes with this part, the top part.
Yeah, okay, fine. So then as soon as there's... Fine, so okay, the point is, as soon as actually you have a Gemara in Sota that implies that boys and girls are often born differently, one looking up, one looking down. Anyway, the point is that once the forehead comes out, then the baby is already considered born. So therefore, so we know that it's already to be true of human babies, and we know from the Mishnah and Cholin that the same thing, once most of the head comes out, then the same thing is true of an animal. So what would be the Chiddush of our Mishnah? So again, that's all. If we take Shmuel's opinion, that we say that only in the case of a 9-month viable baby are we saying that once the head comes out, then the baby is considered born. But in all the other cases, you need the majority of the body as well. So if we take that understanding of the Mishnah, then there's no chiddush in it. The Mishnah didn't have to mention the case at all of the 9-month viable baby that stuck its head out. So therefore, Shiur to Shmuel. So therefore, that's a major contradiction to Shmuel.
That's what?
That we're saying. According to the way we would have to understand the Mishnah according to Shmuel, then we have no Chiddush in our Mishnah, at least as far as the part where the baby is born viable after 9 months.
To say that once
the baby's head comes out, it's considered born, because we know that already as far as animals and colon.
No,
he's saying the head and the rib, as far as if it's an 8-month baby, which is not viable, or a 9-month baby that was born stillborn.
Right.
But a normal baby, once the head comes out, then it's considered born already. Shmuel is saying that Ein HaRosh Poter B'Nefalim, when it comes to a non-viable baby, the head coming out does not pass it. So therefore, the question is, if we say that in our Mishnah were saying that any time the head comes out, then it means that the next baby is not a bechor as far as nachla, that is. Then the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush. But if you're telling us that in the cases of the non-viable babies, the head is not enough. You need most of the body, and only in the case of the viable baby is the head enough. Then that particular point, we know from Cholin, and we know from Nidah, there's no chiddush in it. So therefore, Tiyuvta d'Shmuel. So that's a contradiction to Shmuel. Yeah, Tiyuvta, just that is a contradiction. So okay. With that said, though, you have.
We could have solved it. For an Italian, you were also just need
the head. That's the point. If it weren't for Shmuel's din, we would say that that's the case, that the head is always enough. And then therefore, there would be a big chiddush in the Mishnah.
Right.
That there would be a big chiddush in the Mishnah.
Right.
That even, okay, we weren't quoting Brises. We were quoting Mishnayos. From Chol, fine. But the point is, if according to Shmuel, when it comes to a Nafel, whether the baby is non-viable or whether it's born stillborn, the head coming out is not enough. You need the majority of the body. And only by then, and the Mishnah implying that with a normal birth, and the Mishnah is telling us only that with a normal birth you need only the head. That particular point we don't need our Mishnah for.
Because
it says it elsewhere. It says in Cholin about animals, and it says in Nidah about people. For live births, but we're saying that Shmuel is saying that the Mishnah is telling us that only that in a live birth, in a live viable birth, the head is enough. That point we don't need our Mishnah for.
That's the point.
So the Mishnah doesn't need to be telling us that point. So therefore, the Mishnah didn't have to use the word Rosh. The whole reason why Shmuel is saying the Mishnah used the word Roshay is because you have a later case in the Mishnah where it has to say Roshay. But if it didn't have to say it because there's no Chiddush in that, then let it say Rubay to begin with.
Right.
So that's a contradiction to Shmuel. With that said, though, there are in Shulchan Aruch it does mention that possibly that at least for certain purposes in halacha we do actually pass in like Shmuel, although the Hagor is Hagor, but they in fact ask, what are you talking about? It seems the Gemara has contradicted Shmuel. Okay, fine. Omer of Shimon.
It's when the nose and the mouth start coming out.
That what?
Considered a birth.
Okay.
The baby can breathe.
Fine. What medical science considers a birth and what halacha considers a birth are not necessarily the same thing. Okay. Another din in this connection. Amrav Shimon Lakish, Padachas Paiteres B'chol Makom. In general, Rish Lakish says, once the forehead of the baby comes out, then it's considered a birth, and it patters the next baby from being considered a bechor. In other words, it's a pidyon aben for the next baby. Chutz min ha-nachla, except for the case of nachla, where only if the first baby's full face came out first, would we say that the next one is not a bechor for nachla. My time, a yakir, Omer Rachmana, because when it comes to Nachla, the Torah uses the expression yakir, that the father should recognize him and give him a double portion. Implying you have to be able to recognize him, which requires a full faith. Okay, that's the point. Once you have a full faith, you can recognize the person. Okay. That's Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, Afilu L'Nachla. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, even as far as Nachla, the forehead coming out is already considered to be a birth. And therefore, once that happens, then the next one after that is going to be Potter from Pidyon HaBen, and is not going to get the double portion.
In any event.
Yes, as long as the Padachas came out. As long as the forehead came out. The Rambam actually has a bit of a different understanding of this din of padachas kacheres b'chol makom. He understands it to mean that if the baby, we learned in Bava Basra the din that if the b'chor is born after the father passes away, then he doesn't get a double portion. Suppose that the forehead was born, but the rest of the baby wasn't born yet, and then the father dies, then we would consider that he still gets the double portion. Yeah. Okay.
Real thoughts for that.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so the question is, b'chol mokum le'isur yimai, when Rish Lakish uses the expression padachas pekeres b'chol mokum, what is he adding with those words b'chol mokum? What other dinim? So le'isur yimai, called the Tanan Abanan. He wants to include this that we learn in a braisa, giyores shiyosa padachas v'lada b'yosa nachris. Suppose you have a woman is in the process of becoming a giyores. So suppose the forehead of her baby started coming out while she was a goita, v'achakach nisgaira, and then she completed her geirus. She went to the mikveh at that point. With the padachas already out. Well, okay. So you actually have, now that you mention it, actually you have some of the achronim talk about it, and wouldn't it be a chasitza? So a couple of interesting answers to that. One of them that indeed maybe it wouldn't be a chasitza, but one simple answer is, again, we're talking about the padachas came out, then he retracted it back in, then she went to the mikveh, and then shortly afterwards the baby was born. Whatever. Anyway, the point is, so The din is, Ein noisnum lo yimei tumma vimei tara. We do not assign her days of tumma and days of tara, because, again, once the forehead started coming out, the baby's already considered born. At that time, she was still a goita. So the din of yimei tumma, of 7 or 14 days of tumma, and 33 or 66 days of tara, don't apply. Well, that's also true, yeah. The Einim would be a korban later, and also she wouldn't bring a korban for having given birth for the same reason. Okay. So that's the point. That's what Rish Lakish wants to add with the word b'chol mar. Mace, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction to this. A Braita says, Yakir Zuhakaras claim, when we say that the father has to be able to recognize him to give him the double portion, means that you can recognize the face. The Ezuhi Akaras Ponim, and what's considered that you recognize the face, Pautuf Ponim Imachotim, the countenance of the face together with the nose. In other words, meaning, so not just the forehead. So what are you telling me, only the forehead? It sounds like you need more than that. You need the eyes and the nose and the cheeks and whatever. The answer is Tony Adachotim. Okay, well, the question particularly is on Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan has said that even as far as Nachla, it's enough when the forehead is born. The answer is he would say, okay, when the Braisa says imachotim, it means adachotim. It doesn't mean including the nose, it means up to the nose. So the forehead, to the top of the nose, basically. So yeah, it means the forehead and the eyes. That would be enough. Okay. Toshma, what about, we'll get to that. Toshma, let's bring a proof from another case, a Mishnah in Yevamos. Ein me'idim el al pautus ponim imachotim. When you're giving edus, when you find a dead body and you want to be mato his wife to remarry, you can only give edus that it's him and that he's dead, only if you see the complete countenance of the face imachotim with the nose. So what do you mean then? You don't need the mouth necessarily to recognize face, but at least you need the nose. And so what are you telling me the top of the head is enough? The answer is again Tony Adachotim. Again, you could say maybe the mission doesn't mean imachotim with the nose. It means up to but not included the nose. Okay. Toshma. Hadachas
olitautima.
Okay, so we could change one letter in it. We could say im means meaning ad. Okay. Another proof though, Toshma, Padachas Olipausifonim, if you only have, again, we're talking about as far as giving ages for to be master or woman to be married, if you only see the forehead, Beloy Pausifonim, without the countenance of the face, or Pausifonim Beloy Padachas, or the other way around, you see the face, but you don't see the forehead, Ein Meidin, you can't give ages, that's not valid ages, to say that it's him and that his wife can be married. Ad Shiyushneim Imachotim. You have to have both of them, and you have to have them with the nose. So there, it's very clear. You can't very well say that it means only exclusive of the nose, because we're very clearly mentioning over here the Padachas and the Pirates of Funny.
So the answer in the case of...
In the case of giving ages for a woman. So. But Omer Abaya, we came in Rakhana, and Abaya, or some say Rakhana says, Maikra, what's a posuk that expresses this idea, that you need a complete faith to be able to for it to be considered recognizing. You have a posuk in Yeshaya, HaKoras Pneim on Sabon. The recognizance of their face is testifying against them. In other words, in context, the posuk is mentioning that Rashi says that it's talking about people who are mezana, people who are committing adultery. Like you see the baby and it looks like the woman's paramour. So therefore, it shows clearly that she's been mezana. Anyway, the point is that we see that you need pneum, you need a fairly complete face for it to be considered hakara. So the answer is no. Shiny edus isha dachmiru barabanan. We could answer that. And by the way, Tosfos points out based on the Gemara and Yevamos actually that you have an example over there where somebody disguised himself by putting some wax on his nose and then they didn't recognize him. So we see that the nose is very important for recognizing a person. Okay. So the answer is shiny. Edus isha dachmiru barabanan. We could say it's different when it comes to being made to allow a woman to be married. The chachamim are machmir on it. So there we would say they require extra. You have to see the complete state. But when it comes to the yakir, as the pasuk is mentioning, by the baby, maybe the forehead is on. The forehead and eyes. Okay, the question is, are you telling me the chachamim are machmir on that? V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah also there in Yevamos. Huchzik uliyas masim aid mipi aid. We have a chazaka that we're able to allow a woman to be married, even based on hearsay evidence. So you didn't hear direct masim to allow her to be married. Aid mipi aid, even if you only have hearsay evidence. Mipi Isha, even if it's a woman giving aegis, even though usually a woman's aegis is not acceptable, Mipi Ebed, or Mipi Shifcho, even if it's an Ebed or a Shifcho, so we see we're very making. The answer is Ki Akilu Rabban and Besoifa. Yeah, but the difference is, the Chachamim are Meiko when it comes to the end of things, meaning after you have, somebody found the body, and they recognized it well, then we're going to say, fine, the Chachamim are going to be Meiko, that even if the person themselves is not usually kosher for Eidos, we'll accept their Eidos. But the Chilosa, no, not really the Eved, but in other words, where you have, they carefully, they looked at the body, and they noted the details of the face, and they recognize it, and the only question is, okay, should we accept their Eidos, given that they're possible Eidos? Fine, that we can make along. The Chilosa, lo yakilu rabbanon. The Chacham are not going to be makel at the beginning of the Eidos, the actual seeing of the body has to be very precise. You can't get away with seeing only the forehead. You have to see the face properly. So that would be the difference. Rabbi Gershomak explains slightly differently that besoifa means that they see that he's dead, but chila means where they didn't actually see him dying. Okay, the point is, in other words, so fine, there's an area in which we'll make, or there's an area in which we'll make. The Ibayasim, or another answer, we could say, Yakir Lachod, Vakaras Ponim Lachod. We could answer, all this time we were assuming that the word Yakir implies Zuakaras Ponim, we actually had a Braisa that said that. Now we can say, no, there's a difference. Yakir implies a lesser kind of recognizance. So for that, Hadapas, this forehead is enough. On the other hand, Hakaras Ponim, when we said Hakaras Ponim, on the bump, on the pocket, then you need something more.
So what's Yakir?
So when it says Yakir, so in context, the Pasuk is saying that the father Yakir lost his life each night. He has to recognize the Bechor, even if it's from the hated wife, etc. He still has to recognize him and acknowledge that he has the rights of the Bechor and give him a double portion. But the fact that the Pasuk uses the word Yakir implies that there has to be at least the possibility of recognizing him. Which, fine, the minimum amount of recognition you can do with a person is by seeing their forehead and their eyes. But for real hakaras ponim, which is what you need, for example, to be master a woman to be married, for that you need really the whole ponim.
So yakir would be just as far as nasa.
To say, in other words, once the baby's forehead is born, then he's considered born as far as the dinim of as far as all purposes in halacha. For example, we said as far as a geyerus, Rish Lakish said except for nasa, Rabbi Yechanan says even nasa. It's fine. Now we have another discussion. We mentioned in the Mishnah that you had a case where we had various cases in the Mishnah where we had a case where a woman was misgayer and which she previously had children. We had cases where a couple converted together, etc. So. Suppose that a person had children while he was a goy, v'niskayer, and then he converted. So, what's the din? Rabbi Yochanan Omer Ein Loi Bechor L'Nachla. Rabbi Yochanan says, then this person, this ger, does not have any Bechor as far as Nachla, meaning even if later on, obviously, so the original children that he had, it doesn't really matter. If they remain goyim, then they don't yaushin him anyway, Minat Torah. And if they become Jewish, still Gershon is guy to know the dummy. They're not considered to. We had actually an interesting story in Baba Basra in connection with that, with Ramori Baruchel, whose father Isser was a goy, and in fact Ramori Baruchel was born actually by the time he was born, his father had already converted. But when he was conceived, his father was still a goy, and he said he doesn't yaushin his father. So over here, but the point is that even if this ger later on has children with a Jewish wife, nevertheless, Rabbi Yechanan says he doesn't have a b'chor l'nachla because he already had children before, and so his later children are not considered a b'chor. But Rabbi Shimon Lakish, that's the point. Even the children, right. So he had a few children while he was a goy.
Okay,
so now we're saying now he becomes a ger. He marries a Jewish woman. They have more children. The first child that he has is not going to be with the Jewish woman. Is not going to be considered a bechor l'nachla, says Rabbi Yechanan,
because
he had previous children. Rabbi Shimon Lakish, I'm a yesh le bechor l'nachla. Rabbi Shlakish says he will have a bechor as far as nachla. So let's examine it. Rabbi Yechanan, I'm a ein le bechor l'nachla d'ha havi le reishis oinai. Because after all, what is the Pasuk uses the expression that the firstborn is reishis oinai, which literally means the first of his strength. And he already had a reishis oinai. He already had children of his first strength when he was a guy. So therefore, so it's a no b'chor l'nachla. Reb Shimon Lakashama Yeshle b'chor l'nachla. Reb Shlokish says that he does have a b'chor l'nachla because, as we said, Gershin is carried for Karton Shanel Dami. Because when a Ger converts, he's considered like a newborn. Therefore, the children that he had before don't count. And therefore, now, after he's newborn, he has more children. Okay, so the first one of them is Reish
Hashanah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a yes.
Okay, and the Gemara says, but I'll do a time I. Now, Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish are going according to their respective...
We don't use
the Rechem as far as Pidyon Aben, something else. Fine, but here we're talking about Reish Hashanah. So Reish Hashanah doesn't use the word Yisrael over there. So
no, it doesn't.
So therefore, so Rabbi Yechon says, the fact is it's not Reish Hashanah. No, nothing to make that. But also the time I said, Rabbi Yechonon and Reish Lakish are going according to their respective svaras, which we find elsewhere, the Itma, because we have a similar discussion in Yevamos. Suppose that a guy had children while he was a guy, and then he converted. Rabbi Yechonon Omar Kiyim Piriyah Verivya. Rabbi Yechonon holds he was Makayim, the mitzvah, Piriyah Verivya. He doesn't have to have any more children now that he's a Jew in order to be Makayim, not mitzvah. He was already Makayim because he had children. So actually, it's interesting. The Rambam learns that even according to Rabbi Yechonon, when would he be Makayim? Only if these children converted also. True, Gershon is guy who cut into another dummy, so they're not considered to have any relationship to him. Nevertheless, we would still consider that's enough to make him be Makayim Kuruhu. If they remain the Goyim, then the Rambam would learn that not everybody agrees with that. You have your Shonim that learn that not. And by the way, there's also a question in that regard, which we learned about a little bit about the Sanhedrin. Are Goyim commanded on the mitzvah of Piri of Rivia? On the surface, the Gemara in Sanhedrin had said that not. The Gemara gave Piri of Rivia as an example of a mitzvah which was said to Bnei Noach and not repeated at Har Sinai, and therefore the Gemara establishes the rule over there that in that case, such a mitzvah applies only to the Jewish people, not to Bnei Noach. On the other hand, it's said in Parshas Bereishis, Kruvu Milo Atharet. It's not repeated. No, it's said in Parshas Bereishis, to Adam and Chava. But then it's not repeated at Har Sinai, on the Gemara mentions over there. I mean, it is implicitly mentioned after Har Sinai, but the Gemara explains over there that that's for a specific purpose, to teach us a certain din about Dovrish of Minyan, Sarach Dov Minyan Achalat Tiroi, whatever. So on the surface, the Gemara is saying that Goyim are not Mitzvah and Piri of Rivia. On the other hand, the Shi'iltis, from Rabbi Choy Goyim, learns that actually Goyim are Mitzvah and Piri of Rivia. So according to him, all Gemara works out very nicely, according to Rabbi Yechonon at least. So even though he had children and he was a goy, fine, he was Mekayim the mitzvah when he was a goy, because he had the mitzvah of Puruvu then. The fact that now he's a Jew doesn't make a difference, says Rabbi Yechonon.
Why did he take it to a goy?
The Shiltis, because the Shiltis understands the Gemara differently over there. He understands that it is considered to have been repeated at Hasina. Yes, it was repeated to teach us a particular din about Dovish and Minyan, but nevertheless, the fact is it was repeated, and the Gemara establishes the rule over there. If you have something that was said to Bnei Noach and then repeated at Hasina, it means it's binding on both Jews and Goyim.
Where does it say?
It says, Leichem or Lahem, Shuvu Lachem Lo Aleichem, in Parshas Vaskan, and that Moshe is telling over what happened. By Matan Torah, Hashem says, go back to your tents, meaning to your wives. So therefore, we learn from that that a concept of cruelty. Okay, fine. So that's Rabbi Yechonon says, therefore, that he was Makayim period of Rivia. Reb Shimon Lakish Amar Loikiyim. Reish Lakish said he wasn't Makayim, and now he has to have children after he became a Ger. Rabbi Yechonon Amar Kiyim, because after all, the Pasuk says, Loi Toihu Bra'a L'Sheves Yitzara. The Pasuk says Hashem didn't create the world for emptiness. He created it to be settled. Okay, so this guy had children while he was a Goy. He accomplished that. He settled the world. He had children. But if Shimon Lakish Amar Loikiyim Piri V'Rivia, because Ger Shinis Guy Katan Shneir L'Dami, because again, a Ger who converts is considered like a newborn baby. So therefore, the children that he had when he was a guy don't count. So therefore, they're using the same svara over here about whether he has a bechor as far as nachla or not. Where Rabbi Yechonon says that not, because the children he had as a guy do count as his children, same way as he says he was Makayim Piri V'Rivia. Therefore, no bechor the nachla. And Reish Lakish is going to be saying that the ones he had as a guy don't count, and therefore no bechor the nachla.
So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Nachla goes to the Goyim?
No, the Nachla is going to go only to his Jewish children, and if he doesn't have Jewish children, then it's free for the taking for any Jews. But his Goyish children, whether they converted or whether they didn't, are not going to inherit from him, right?
contradiction.
No, because Rabbi Yochanan is saying the fact is the same way as you would say. Let's say taking the examples of our Mishnah. Let's say, for example, you had a couple had a regular, perfectly healthy baby, and then sometime afterwards that baby died. Rahman al-Aslan. There's not going to be a bechor lemachle, right? Just because the baby died. No, but the point. Fine, but the point is Rabbi Yochanan is saying they're not going to inherit from him because they're goyim and he's a Jew. So
they say they're not going to inherit because they're goyim. How can you
because he can still say the fact is they are considered his children. He did have rachis oinoi, and he did do peri v'ribya. So they're not going to be yarshining from him.
There is such a thing of rachis oinoi by
yeah, that's what according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's what he's saying. The fact is, okay. So let's go on, and maybe it'll become a little clearer. What's tzricha? Now the Gemara says, okay, so why do we need Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish to be arguing about both cases? We need both of them. Because if you had only the machlokas about the double portion of the bechor, you would say bahak amar of Shimon Lakish. You know why Rish Lakish is saying over there that we ignore his goyish children altogether, the children that he had when he was a goy, that is, and therefore the firstborn that he has as a Jew is considered reishis oinei. You would say because mishum debi yosa orit kuchavim lavrei nachman inhu, because when he's a goy, his children are not going to inherit. What does that mean? Rashi says that goyim don't yarshin from their father after they were converted. So if he remains a goyim, they convert, or vice versa, One second. But the point is, it's either way. If he converts and they don't, or if they convert or vice versa, either way, they're not yarshin. So Rish Lakish is going to say, therefore, there's no Yerusha from them. Therefore, they're completely out of the picture. Tosfos actually corrects that a little bit. What we mean is, in other words, it's not that his goyish children wouldn't have ever yarshin him. If he had remained a goy and they had remained goyim, they actually would yarshin him, the Gemara tells us in tradition. However, even then, none of them would be getting a double portion because the double portion is a mitzvah that applies specifically to Jewish people.
Meaning the goyim
don't have a concept of bechor, of double portion of bechor. So therefore, you could argue, Rish Lakish says that because when he was a goy and they were goyim, the din of nachla doesn't apply to them, according to Rashi altogether, and according to Tosfos with the fact that they get a double portion. Therefore, Rish Lakish would say, therefore, that's according to Tosfos, yeah. Ava Baha, but when it came to the question of Puravu, Eima Moedele Rav Yechanan, maybe he would agree with Rav Yechanan, because after all, as Rav Yechanan brought the passage, Delei L'Toyo Bra L'Shevet Yitzara, Hashem didn't create the world for emptiness, he created it to be settled, he formed it to be settled, Baha Abed L'Shevet, and the fact is he did, he accomplished that the world was settled. So therefore, maybe he would agree with Rav Yechanan. The eat my baha, therefore you need that machlokas. The eat my baha, but if we only had that second machlokas, then you would say baha ka'am Rabbi Yechanan, and that's why there Rabbi Yechanan says he was mekayim puravu, because he did accomplish l'shevet. Ava baha, but in the first case of nachla, aim a modulator of Rishim Malakish, maybe he would agree with Rish Lakish. The fact is, his children were not slated to inherit him at all, according to Rashi, had all of them remained goyim, or at least they weren't slated to get a double portion, according to Tosfos. So then you would think maybe he agrees with Rish Lakish Tzricha, and therefore we need both machlokes. Okay.
So you need one to tell us that
Rabbi Yochanan holds by his opinion in all cases, even by Nachla, even though when he was a goy and they were goyim, there was no concept of Nachla or of Bechora at all. Nevertheless, we still apply the fact that he had children, and therefore there's no Bechora now. And Rish Lakish had then, and you have to say the second Machlokes to tell us that even in that case where he had children and you would think he accomplished L'Shevet Yitzara, Rish Lakish says still not.
So Rabbi Yochanan, even when he was a goy and the children stayed goy, they were still not.
No, again, according to Rabbi Yochanan would say, it's true that when they were goyim and he was a goy, there wasn't going to be any nachla, or at least there wasn't going to be a double portion. Nevertheless, that's according to Tosfos. The fact remains, he did have reishis oinai, he did have firstborn children over there, therefore no double portion when he becomes a yid. Rish Lakish is saying, Gershon is guy for cotton chanel. Fine. Okay, so thus far the machlokas, now let's see how that relates to our mission. Tanan, we learned in our mission, if a man did not have children, the nasa isha shekvar yolda, and he married a woman who previously gave birth, or he can have oida shivcha v'nishtachra. Yeah, well, what if she gave birth to something that would make it that you don't have a bechor, that you don't have a bechor l'koyin?
It doesn't have to be livable to be.
No, well, again, as far as bechor l'koyin, you have different rules. They're peteresim. So, yeah. So if she gave, we said already, if the whole body came out, for sure the pasta is in.
No, but absolutely done.
Doesn't matter. The fact is, you have a b'chor, you don't have a b'chor l'kayin, but you have a b'chor l'nasayin. Okay. Yeah. Or whatever, according to the different cases. Yeah. So we said if a man married a woman who previously had children, so therefore there's not going to be any pidyon of him, oida shifcha v'nishtachara, or we said there was a shifcha who was freed, oida ivedes kechav v'nishtachara, or a woman had children when she was a goita and then she converted, or mishabasa l'Yisrael yada, and then she gave birth after she married a yid, then we said, then v'lada b'chor l'machla v'ena b'chor l'kayin. Then we said her child is a b'chor as far as nachla, as far as the double portion, but not as far as the kayin. So we have to ask, Yolda Mima, when we say she gave birth after she became a Geyoris, who was the father? Ilema mi Yisrael Shaloi Ha'ulad Banim. Do we mean that her husband is a Yisrael who didn't previously have children of his own? Well then, my Iri Geyoris Shifcha, why do you have to mention the case where she's a Geyoris, so she's a Shifcha who was freed? I feel a Bas Yisrael Nami, the same thing would be equally true if it was a born Jewish woman.
We're saying that if she
already had children, then we're saying that the child is a b'chor l'nachla and not a kohen. So if her husband is Yisrael who had no children, why bother mentioning the case of a geyoris or a shifcha m'shacharis? The same thing would be true regardless if she was a born Jewish woman also. Evidently, we must be talking about that she had children, that her children are from a ger who previously had children, minisgayer, and now, so he had children when he was a guy, now he converted, and it says that the next child is going to be a b'chor l'machla. So that would work according to Rish Lakish. What is Rabbi Yechanan going to do with that? Rabbi Yechanan said that if the man had children before, then there's no b'chor l'machla. The answer is why? No, that's not what the Mishnah means. La'olam Yisrael shalai ha'olai banim. The Mishnah can actually mean that this Giyotis or Shifcha Meshachareth had children with a Yisrael who didn't have children previously. Ve'ena b'chor l'koyin itzrichalei. And therefore, the Chiddush, the Mishnah, wants to tell us is that this baby is not a b'chor as far as the koyin. That part is the Chiddush. In other words, again, the Mishnah had mentioned two cases. One where a man marries a woman who previously had children. True, where she was a Giyoris or a Shifcha Meshachareres. So we assume for purposes of the question that we're talking two different cases. One where a born Yisrael marries a woman who already had children. Two, where a Ger who previously had children marries a Giyoris. And that brings a question on Rabbi Yechanan. Now we're saying that no, we're talking about in both cases the husband is a born Yisrael. And then in one case, the born Jewish woman who previously had children. And in the other case, it's a Giyoris or a Meshachareres. And what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that we say that even in that case, the baby is not a B'chor L'Koyin, and that the Chiddush of that is La Pukim Yid Rabbi Yitzhak Gili, because the Mishnah wants to tell us not like Rabbi Yitzhak Gili, the Arma B'chor L'Nachla U'L'Koyin, where Rabbi Yitzhak Gili had argued in the Mishnah that the baby is a B'chor, and not only as far as Nachla, because it's his father's first, but also as far as the Koyin, but because his mother, because it's the first, because the Mishnah wants to tell us not like that. She named Peter Rechem B'Yisrael, because the Pasuk said Peter Rechem within the Jewish people, meaning, as we said, Ad Sheyiftu Rechem B'Yisrael, as he says that only if the Tiras Rechem happens after she's a Jewish woman, Kamash Malan Deloy, that would be the Chiddush of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah may not be addressing the case where a Ger who previously had children marries a Geyoris, and the question would be, is he a B'chor L'Machla or not? The point the Mishnah wants to make is he's a Yisrael, so there's no question that he didn't have children before, so there's no question that this is a B'chor L'Machla. The question only is it a B'chor L'Koyin or not? And the Mishnah is telling us that not, to tell us not like Rabbi Yitzhak Gili. So the Mishnah is not a contradiction to Rabbi Yitzhak. Okay. Tashma. Okay, but let's continue. The Mishnah mentioned a case. Not the Mishnah. Braisa says, "Hoyule bonim biyosa ovid kachav minis gayer." If a man had children while he was a goy, minis gayer, and then he became a ger, yeshle b'chor l'masa, then he has a b'chor l'masa. So what is Rabbi Yechanan going to do with that? The answer is Amar Ravina, the Tamer of Acha. So Ravina, or some say Rav Acha said, "Okay, halvader Rabbi Yitzhak Gili." Yeah, it would contradict Rabbi Yechanan. So they answer, in order for it not to contradict Rabbi Yechanan, Havadir Rabbi Yitzhak Gili, who, okay, necessarily that braisa has to be according to Rabbi Yitzhak Gili. Dama Peter Rechem B'Yisrael, who said that, as in our Mishnah, that Peter Rechem B'Yisrael means that it has to be Sheyiftir Rechem B'Yisrael, that the opening of the womb happens when she is Jewish. So that applies to the woman. V'yalef Ihu Minadida. So now, what Rabbi Yitzhak Gili is doing is he's deriving from the situation with her, that the same thing is, that the same thing applies to him. Just as Rabbi Yosef Aglili is saying in the Mishnah that the children she had before as a goita don't count, we look at Peter Rechem Yisrael, the same way he would say, like you were saying before, sort of make a hekesh or something, or a mamatinu, he would say the same thing would apply to the man that's not considered gracious oinai, what the children that he had when he was a goy. And therefore, the firstborn son that he has now as a yid is going to be the one who gets the double portion. But that b'risa would be only according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. The halacha is not like him. So therefore, it's not a contradiction to Rabbi Yosef. The halacha is like Rabbi Yechon. The halacha is like Rabbi Yechon, and right. So he doesn't have a b'chor l'machla, and in the case of Piri V'Rivi, he wasn't a paying Piri V'Rivi. He had children when he was a goat. Again, according to the Rambam, only if his children converted as well. According to other Rishonim, even if not.
And according to Rabbi Yechon, if he marries a Yid, marries a Giyara.
So if a Yid marries a Giyara, so we said the halacha is not like Rabbi Yechon. So if she had children before, then this isn't Petra Rechem Yisrael. Therefore, no Pidyon Aben. So that's that. And if he had children while he was, and if he had children while he was a goy, again, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and the halacha is not like the Shlokish, he wouldn't have a b'chor l'mas. Okay. New topic. Omer of Adaba Abba, Leviya Sheyolda, if a bas levi gives birth, b'na potter mehei sloy. So her child is potter from the five sloy, meaning he's potter from Pidyon Aben. So we have to figure out the aber miman. Okay. So that's what we have to figure out. So okay. So we're saying that because she's a bas levi, therefore her child is potter from Pidyon Aben. So who is she pregnant? We have to figure out. The aber miman. The question is, who is she pregnant from? Ilema di aber mikoyen mi levi. Are you going to say that she's pregnant from a koyen or from a levi? Well, of course the baby is potter. My iri levius, levia. Why bother mentioning where she's a bas levi herself? Afi the Israelis nami. The same din would be true even if she was the Israelis, because who marries a koyen or a levi? Yeah. Ela di aber Yisrael. Are you talking about where she's pregnant by a Yisrael? Why would the baby be potter from Pidyon Aben? He's not a levi. L'mishpachoisam leveis avoisam. The pasuk says that in this week's parasha, actually, that leveis avoisam, you go according to the father's house. So therefore, so if the father's Yisrael, the baby is Yisrael. Why should he be potter from Pidyon Aben? Amar Papa, di aber me'orit kapapa. So the papa says, you're right. The case that we're talking about, where Adaba Abba is saying that the baby is potter, is where she's pregnant from a goy. Now, you have a machloikas. One second. Now you have a machloikas in Yevamos, and we're referring to it over here. So let's see. The loitem. Now the machloikas is basically, if a goy or an eved has relations with a bas Yisrael, what is the status of bas Yisrael, meaning in general a Jewish woman? So what is the din of the baby? So Rashi understands, we have two opinions in the Gemara over here, called mizaham min asavlad or ein mizaham min asavlad. Mizaham literally means to consider that he has zuhama, that he has a ruchniistic appeal on him. So Rashi understands, like this, you have a discussion in your vomit about, you have an opinion that says havlad kosher, and you have an opinion that says havlad mamzer. So Rashi understands that both of those opinions will say the child is definitely Jewish. The question is he a Yisrael kosher or is he a mamzer? Tosfos has a whole different understanding of it over here. In fact, Rashi himself seems to have a different understanding in some other places in Shas as well. The question is he a mamzer or is he a goy? So let's look one second.
Not between Israel and Mamzer, but between Mamzer and Goy, right.
So Veloy came, so Rapapa says, again, if a Bas Levi is pregnant by a Goy, that's choice. Just one second, we'll talk about it. So Rapapa says, again, the Abba of the problem, suppose you have that a Bas Levi is pregnant by a Goy, Veloy came a libid mandoma ein mezam and sablad. Now don't think then that this din of Rab Adaba Abba is only according to the opinion ein mezam and sablad, which Rashi understands that to mean that the baby is kosher. Meaning, in other words, we ignore the father, we look at the mother, therefore we say he's a Yisrael kosher. Well, then we would say for sure, okay, his mother is a bas levi, therefore he should be potter. But don't say that it's only according to that opinion. Ela afilu l'mando omer mizam in a sablad, even according to the opinion that mizam in a sablad, that we consider him to have a defect, nevertheless, Levi posel, the child, because we look at the father as well, fine, Levi posel mikri, he would still be called a Levi, he's just a Levi who's posel, and therefore he'd still be posel from Pidyon Abed. So that's according to Rashi. He can't serve as a Levi in the Beth Mikdash. But nevertheless, he still has the designation of a Levi to the extent that he's part of Pinyin Abin. Tosfos has a different understanding of it. Again, Tosfos' understanding of Mizamin and Ein Mizamin is almost exactly the opposite of Rashi's. Mizamin would mean that we consider him a Goy, and Ein Mizamin would mean that we consider him a Yid, however we consider him a Mamzer. So therefore, Tosfos would say that what Rapapa is saying is that, needless to say, according to the opinion, Ein Mizamin et Ablad, that you say that the baby is considered, that the baby is considered a goy, then you say, of course, he's Potter from Pidyon Aben. But even if you say that, even if you say Mizamin et Ablad, then fine, he's a Levi, but he's a Mamzer. Mizamin et Ablad would mean that we consider him to be dirty, to have some flaw in him. According to Tosfos, that opinion would mean that he's a Yid, but he's a Mamzer.
Okay. Not
a Goy. Right. So you'd have two opinions. Ein Mizamin et Ablad would mean those would according to Tosfos. Tosfos themselves is saying that the definition of Mizamin et Ablad means that we consider him to be a goy, and Ein Mizamin et Ablad would mean that we consider him to be the other way around. Ein Mizamin et Ablad would mean he's a goy. There's no zuma on him because he's a goy, like any other goy in the world. Ein Mizamin et Ablad would mean we consider him to be a mamzer, as opposed to Rashi, who's saying that Ein Mizamin et Ablad would mean that there's no problem with him at all. He's a regular yid, no mamzer. So Mizamin et Ablad would mean there's a mamzer.
According to Rashi, Ein Mizamin
means he's zero kosher, and Mizamin means mamzer. According to Tosfos, Mizamin means he's a goy, and Ein Mizamin means that he's a mamzer.
So I got it backwards.
So the Papa is saying, according to Tosfos, needless to say, according to the opinion, Ein Mizamin et Ablad, fine, he's a Levi, but he's a mamzer. But even if you say Mizamin et Ablad means considered a goy, in a certain sense, he's still considered a Levi. He's a Levi possible because he's a goy, according to that opinion. But nevertheless, nevertheless, that's the idea, is he still has a certain aspect of laziness to him. In fact, so there's actually something from Reb Chaim Brisker where he talks about that's what Tosfos is saying, but Reb Chaim Brisker explains actually that what it is we say when it comes to Pidyon Aben, as long as there's any sad of Levi in him, then you consider him to be Potter from Pidyon Aben. So here, nevertheless, you still consider there's still a certain aspect of laziness to him because his mother was a Bas Levi. Nonetheless, though, we would still say that he still has that residual laziness in him, not enough to make him a Yid, but enough to make him that he'd be called to
be a Yid.
How can
an Yisrael, a Yid who's an Yisrael, not be considered a Levi, and with no tzad a Levi, but a Goy, who is...
Because his mother is a Bas Levi. And one idea also Reb Chaim talks about in connection with this is if there is a Jewish father to consider, then as we said, we go with the Mishpachos and the Beis Avosim. If there's no Jewish father to consider, then kind of by default, we have to consider the mother. Yeah, so even according to that opinion, that Mizamin et Ablad means that he is considered, considered a Goy, but after all, he's a Goy who has a Bas Levi as a mother. And therefore, in that sense, then it means that he has a certain aspect of laziness.
The mother comes before the father, even though it's in the basis of a servant.
No. So again, it means that he is a goy, because according to that opinion, Mizamin et Ablad, we do go according to the goyish father, and therefore he's a goy. Yeah. However, we still say, so far as Pidyon Aben is concerned, because there's a side of Levi to him, that's enough to come to the pattern of Pidyon Aben.
That's a full goy.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of time because we're going to have to end soon, but the Maharit al-Ghazi in this sugya, by the way, has a really interesting explanation of it. He says, actually, the question of whether Mizamin et Ablad or Ein Mizamin et Ablad may actually depend, he says, is the Goyish father involved in raising the child? He learns like this. He says, if you have a case, let's say a Goy rapes a Jewish woman or whatever, and otherwise is out of the picture and she's raising him as a regular Jewish kid, sure, then he's a Jewish kid like any other. But if you stay, if the goyish father is involved in raising him and he's raising him as a goy, then the Ma'ariv Targazi on our sugya in Hilchos Bechoros of the Ramban learns in that case he would actually be considered a goy. Similar to what Chosef was saying, but taking a different angle on it.
But what about if they raise it both together?
Fact is, the father is involved in raising him, and he's raising him as a goy. Okay, but if it, so the question is basically, is he being raised as a Jew, or is he being raised as a goy? So halachically, neither Tosfos's nor the Ma'ariv Targazi's opinion is accepted by halacha. He's considered a kosher yid. The extent we say is, first of all, if she's a girl, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. We don't ban tradition. So if she's a girl from an intermarriage like that is not allowed to marry a kohen. Second of all, there are poskim. Well, if you have full-fledged year, it's obviously not, but like that. But even though, so in this case, even though the girl is considered Jewish and not a mamzeret, nevertheless, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. And number two, you have some poskim say that if the baby was born on Shabbos, that if such a baby is born on Shabbos, you don't do the bris on Shabbos. I don't think that is accepted by halacha either, but I'm not quite sure. It would be considered according to that opinion, because you have the possibility that maybe the baby is considered a goy, so then maybe you can't do the bris mila on Shabbos. Again, I don't think that particular one is accepted by halacha either, halacha lemaisa, but I don't know. We could ask Hebra, I guess, sometime and then find out. But so far as the question.
And you're in Israel because your father's in Israel. Do you have a baby?
One second. So far, this was all Rav Papa's understanding of Rav Abba Abba, that what is the case? We're saying that a bas levi, that a bas levi's child is part of a binyan ben, only if it's with a goy. According to his explanation, if she's pregnant by Yisrael, the baby does need a binyan ben. But wait, we're not done yet. Because with a goy, there's no mishpachosim leveis avosim, so therefore, of necessity, you have to go according to the mother, whereas over here, you have a mishpachosim leveis avosim, the father belongs to a different shaven. Okay, but wait, we're not done yet anyway. I should mention, by the way, one interesting thing, that one of the Achronim points out, based on this idea of Ma'ariv Targazi, that may explain why it is that Daryavish, the son of Achashverosh and Esther, is considered a goyish king. If Esther is his mother, shouldn't he be considered a yid? According to the Ma'ariv Targazi's answer, according to Ma'ariv Targazi's explanation, we have an answer. Because he was raised in the palace as a goy by Achashverosh, therefore he's considered a goy.
How do we know he was raised by?
Because he was raised to be the next king, or he was raised to be the next king of Persia, the pastor. They told him the... Yeah. Okay, fine.
Maybe it works over there.
Okay.
Is there a difference between Ashkenazi and Sephardi?
No, as far as I know, again. Okay, fine. Going on. Okay, so again, all of this was according to the Papa, that again, if a bas levi is pregnant by a kohen or a levi, okay, the baby is potter anyway, because his father's a kohen or a levi. If she's pregnant by Yisrael, the baby is actually chayev and pinyan ben. And if she's pregnant by a goy, the baby is potter. Whether we say Mizamin or not. Okay. My brother of Yosef Omar Mishmeh Rava. My brother of Yosef says in the name of Rava. Wait, we're not done yet. La'olam de'iyavam Yisrael. We could actually be talking about that the bas levi is pregnant by Yisrael, and still the baby is potter. So why is the baby potter if he's considered a Yisrael? The shiny hosm is different in that case. The omakrop peter rechem, because the pasuk mentions the one who opens the womb, implying the peter rechem tolerachmana. The Torah makes it depend on whose womb was opened. She being a bas levi, it doesn't matter who her husband is. Okay, so the Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah and see if it, now that is the halacha, by the way. The halacha, as we know, Adayim Azeh is, yeah, if it's a bas levi or a bas koyin, her child is potter from Pidyon HaBen. Okay, but Tanan. Now, okay, so let's look at our Mishnah and see whether it fits with any of these opinions. The Mishnah said, Misha ha'yulad bonim v'nasi isha shalayoda, a man who previously had children, and he married a woman who hadn't given birth, nisgairam mu'beres, or if a woman became a giyoras while she was pregnant, nishtachra mu'beres, or she was freed from being a shifa k'nanis while she was pregnant, the yolda hiva kehenes, or you have a case where a Bas Yisrael gave birth at the same time as a Kehenes, and the babies were mixed up, and you don't know which is which. Or he will be, he the Isha Shekrav Yolda, or she together with a Bas Levi, or she together with a woman who already gave birth. V'chein Mishalai Shah Sa'achet Baile Gimel Hadashim, the same way we said if a woman didn't wait 3 months after her husband died, the Nithis, and she remarried, the Yolda, and she gave birth. V'en Yadurim Ben Tes Larishin Ben Zayin La'achim, we don't know now whether this baby is a 9-month one from the first husband, a 7-month one from the second, but that's the mission. So we said in all those cases, b'chor l'koyin v'ein b'chor l'nachla. In all those cases, the b'chor as far as pidyon haben, but not as far as nachla. Now, the implication is Miklal de Kehenes Levia Pturin. The implication is that the Kehenes Levia herself is Potter. Because we're saying that if the Bat Yisrael's baby is mixed up with the Kehenes' baby or the Levia's baby, then they're Potter from Kedin Ben on those grounds. We don't know which baby is which. So the father is going to have to do Pidyon HaBen because whichever one of these babies is his, but he's not a Bechor Nachas. Okay, so the question is, again, let's ask ourselves, again, in the case of our Mishnah, you have a Kehenes or a Levia, who is she pregnant from? Elema di Eber Mikoyen Relevi, if her husband is a Koyen or a Levi, respectively, Ihochi Ma'iri Kehenes or Levia. Again, why bother mentioning specifically Kehenes or Levia? I feel the Bat Yisrael Nami. The same thing would be true if you were the Bat Yisrael. Ella di Eber Ma'ev Tuchavim. So evidently, we have to be talking about which she's pregnant from a boy. Well, the question is, what do you mean, Kehenes Ptura? What do you mean in that case, if she was a Kehenes, she'd be Potter from Pidyon HaBen? Why? Her child was a girl. But her Amar Papa, didn't her Papa say, Bodiklon Rabba, specifically a Baskoyan. Rapapa says that Rava or Rava tested us on the following question. Kehenes Chinis Abram or Ergachavim Mahu, if a Baskoyan becomes pregnant from a goy, what would be the din? What would be the din as far as is the baby higher than Pidyon HaBen? The Aminalei, so Rapapa says, I answered him, Lab Hainu de Rav Adar Bahava. Isn't that exactly the same case as Rav Adar Bahava? Gam Leviya Sheyolda B'nah Potter M'chamesh Soim, where we said about a Bas Levi who gave birth, and Rapapa himself explained before that it means that the father was a guy. But Amalei, according to Rapapa's understanding of Rav Adar Bahava. But Amalei and Rava said to me, Hochi Hashta, how are you comparing the two cases? It's not at all the same when it's a Bas Koyin or a Bas Levi. Bishlem, a Levia, I can understand a Levia, even if she had relations with a guy, because Shosa Kaima, she still retains her original Kedusha. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Levia Shanishvase, if a Levia is taken captive by Goyim, where we assume that they may have raped her. One second. Ocean Niva Lavilasnus, no, one second. Or she had relations with where it was Nus. Noisan Lamina Maisa Vaichelas. Nevertheless, we can still give her Maisa Rishin and she can eat it, showing that she still has her status as a boss lady. One second. Never mind Oinus or not. By a Koyan, it doesn't matter whether Oinus or not. Once she's had relations with a goy or somebody who's also to her, have ya zora. At that point, even if it was ba'onis, she's considered a zora. She can never eat truma again, for example. So we see there's a big difference between a bas levi and a bas kohen. It's not a matter of onus, because, for example, a kohen's wife who was raped is still also to him. So there's a big difference between a bas kohen and a bas levi. So, one second. So Rava is saying, you, the papa, are thinking that a bas kohen is pregnant by a goy and a bas levi is pregnant by a goy is the same thing. Either way, the baby is positive opinion again. But there's a big difference. A bas levi is still considered a bas levi after that. A bas kohen loses her status as a bas kohen after that. And she's considered a zoyna and she's also a kohen. The bas levi still remains a bas levi. Because she's still able to be given my submission, and she's still able to be given my submission just like before. So we can say like this: if we go according to Mar Breder of Yosef's understanding of Rav Adar Bahava, where he said a Levia is pregnant, her baby is Potter from Pinyin Aben, we said it means even if the father is a Jew, is a Yisrael. Okay, the Omadi Abam Yisrael. Rav Adar Bahava had said generically, Levia Sheyolda, and Mar Breder of Yosef explained that means even if the father is a Yisrael. Nevertheless, it's true the baby is a Yisrael. Nevertheless, because the mother, because the Rechem belongs to Shevet Levi, because she herself is Shevet Levi, therefore the baby is Potter. So if we take that, okay, Muki Lo B'di Abam Yisrael. Fine, so we can say our Mishnah is talking about that you had a Bas Yisrael, a Bas Yisrael is in the same place as a Bas Koyen or a Bas Levi who was married to Yisrael. They both have babies. The babies got mixed up. We said one of those babies is still higher than Pidyon HaBen, the other one is Potter. So therefore, we can say, so we're talking about the Bas Levi or the Bas Yisrael is pregnant by Yisrael, and nevertheless her baby is Potter from Pidyon HaBen, because by virtue of her being a Bas Levi or a Bas Koyen. El or a Papa, but according to the Papa, my Mukila, how is your Papa going to understand our Mishnah? that we have a case where, according to the Papa, how are you going to have? Again, there's a big difference between a Bas Levi and a Bas Toyin if they're pregnant by a Goy. If you're going to say that Rav Abba Abba's din applies only, that the Bas Levi's son is Potter from Pinyin Abdan applies only if the father was a Goy, then what are you going to do with our Mishnah where it mentions also a Bas Toyin? As opposed to Ma'aber Derbez, who says that it applies even if the father was a Jew, was a Yid, was a Yisrael. The answer is, we can answer, the Papa will say, the Kehenes of our Mishnah does not mean that she's a Bas Koyen, it means she's a Bas Yisrael and her husband is a Koyen. By my Koyula Kehenes, so why does it call her Kehenes? Dibnah Koyen, because not because she herself is a Bas Koyen, but because her son is a Koyen. So in that sense, she can be called a Kehenes. She herself is not a Kehenes, but because she's married to a Koyen and her son is a Koyen, therefore, in a certain sense, she can be considered a Kehenes. So therefore, so the Papa will explain the Mishnah that way. It's true. If she was pregnant from a Goy, then in the case of a Bas Levi, he would say her son is Potter from Pidyon Aben. On the other hand, if it was a Bas Koyen who was pregnant from a Goy, she would be Chayavin, the baby would be Chayavin Pidyon Aben, because she's lost her status as a Bas Koyen. So our Mishnah is not, we don't say that for a Bas Levi, because a Bas Levi doesn't lose her status by having relations with a Goy. But that's how it is. That's how it is. Only by Koyen, we have the concept of Zoyna and Chalola. So we could say, so the Papa will understand the Mishnah that way. So the Papa will understand, we're not talking about anybody's pregnant from Goyim. We're talking about a Kehenes or Leviya, meaning a Bas Yisrael is married to a Koyan or Levi, and therefore her son is part of Pidyon Aben, because the child is a Koyan or is a Levi. No, because according to Ma'abre Rabbi Yosef, we don't have to say that. We could say the woman is a Bas Yisrael, the woman is a Bas Koyan or a Bas Levi married to a Yisrael, and still her child is possible to pick up then. Okay, again, we had an Or Mishnah, a case like this. You have two women, Rachel and Leah, gave birth, and the babies are mixed up. Where we said one of them, the baby is Chayiv and Pidyon Aben, and the other one, the baby is Potter from Pidyon Aben. And one of the cases we mentioned where one of them is Potter from Pidyon Aben is where one of these women, where Leah is a Kehenes or a Leviya. So we're saying, according to the Papa, it wouldn't work out to say that Rachel had relations with a Goy and had a child with him, because with a Bas Levi, fine, that would work. Her child would be Potter from Pidyon Aben, but with a Bas Koyan, that would not work. So according to him, the meaning of Kehenes or Leviya means a woman who is married to a Koyan or a woman who is married to a Levi.
It wouldn't work
because according to him, because a Bas Koyan who has relations with a Goy is no longer considered a Bas Koyan. There's no reason her child would be called to Pidyon Aben.
So he would say
he would say if a Bas Koyan has relations with a Goy and has a child with him, the child would be Chayim in Pidyon Aben. But a Bas Levi, which would be Potter, yeah, would be Potter, yes. So in our Mishnah, where it mentions Kehenes and Leviya side by side, it has to be that Kehenes and Leviya means he is a Bas Yisrael who is married to a Kohen or a Bas Yisrael who is married to a lady. As opposed to, according to Ma'abre Rabbi Yosef, you don't need all that. According to him, even a Bas Levi's son is always part of the Pidyon Aben. Bas Levi or Bas Toyin, son is always part of Pidyon Aben, regardless, even if the father is Yisrael, not like Rapapa, who says that if the father is Yisrael, they're Chayev. So he can say more straightforward, the Kehenes or Leviya means just that, a Bas Toyin or a Bas Levi who is married to Yisrael. Yeah, okay, that's right.
Whether it's according to brother of
my brother, I mean,
whether she married Goy, Israel, or anybody else.
Right. Either way, the
still retain her status.
No, it's not a question of retaining her status. Because, well, yeah. I mean, the point is, okay, but the point is, according to the Papa, if a Bas Koyan or a Bas Levi marries Yisrael, the child is Chayav and Pidyon Aben. Not so much because she loses her status, especially a Bas Levi retains her status as a Bas Levi married to Yisrael. But nevertheless, we ignore her and we focus on Mishpachos and Levei Tavosim, says the Papa. Whereas Ma'abre de Ravina says, no, we focus on Tete Rechem. Her Rechem is, she was born as a Bas Levi or a Bas Koyan, therefore the baby is Potter.
Right. According to Rav Papa, she married a girl. The child is Chayav. Now, if she's
a Bas Levi, the Papa would say she's Potter. If she's a Bas Koyan, he's Chayav.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Bas Koyan. She's Chayav.
According, because she loses her status.
She divorces from her girl. She
doesn't matter. She's still forever. She'll never eat Truma again. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so the point is, but no. Yeah, that is the halacha. But the point is, so the halacha is like ma'abirei de Rav Yosef, so it doesn't matter. The halacha is like ma'abirei de Rav Yosef, so if a Yisrael marries a bas toyin or a bas levi, then as we know, ma'isa b'chol yoyim, then you're called your potter for b'din ha'benim. Okay. Yeah.